Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America. And tonight, on the eve of the 20th anniversary of the attacks of September 11th, 2001, we pray for America in the light of the events of that day. We all remember, those of us anyway that were living through those days, remember them vividly. And we want to pray today with those memories front and center for our nation and for the continued healing of our nation and for our continued determination to not only defend ourselves, our communities, our families against terrorism, but to build a culture of life, to build a world free from the yoke, the poison of terrorism. I want to use our reading tonight from the Book of Lamentations, and then I want to give some reflections about September 11th and the lessons that it carries for us. And we all, as I said, remember the events of those days and the terrible emotions of fear and anger, grief, sadness, all mixed in together. And it reminds me biblically of the Book of Lamentations, not only because that book of Scripture contains so exquisite an articulation of the grief of the human heart, but against an enemy that is destroying the city, the Babylonians coming in, attacking Jerusalem, burning the temple, leading the people away into exile. The experience of those people, as reflected in this Book of Lamentations, really captures a lot of the same emotions as Americans and indeed the rest of the world experienced in seeing the attacks of that day. The planes that flew into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon, and the plane that crashed over the fields of Pennsylvania, headed also for Washington, D.C. I want to read some of these lamentations. And we do so knowing the grief of the human heart and also the hope of the people of faith. You know, St. Paul says to the Thessalonians, we grieve, but we do not want you to grieve as those who have no hope. Because we as Christians do have hope. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, who has conquered death. You know, we don't remember September 11th in any other context than the clear assertion that the power of death, the power of evil, have been broken in Jesus Christ. That's our stance. That's how we approach this day. That's how we deal with the memories of September 11th. Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through his gospel. We stand victorious against the evils of the world, against the evil of terrorism. We need to experience that grief of the human heart nonetheless, but we grieve as those having hope. In other words, knowing that the evils we face do not have the last word, cannot have the last word, because Christ is risen. Let's remember the events of September 11th in that spirit precisely. So let me go to chapter 2 of Lamentations. The Lord marked for destruction the wall of daughter Zion. He stretched out the measuring line. His hand brought ruin, yet he did not relent. He brought grief on wall and rampart till both succumbed. Sunk into the ground are her gates. He has removed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the pagans. Priestly instruction is wanting, and her prophets have not received any vision from the Lord. On the ground sit in silence the old men of daughter Zion. They strew dust on their heads and gird themselves with sackcloth. The maidens of Jerusalem bow their heads to the ground. Worn out from weeping are my eyes. Within me all is in ferment. My gall is poured out on the ground because of the downfall of the daughter of my people. As child and infant faint away in the open spaces of the town. They ask their mothers, where is corn and wine? In vain, as they faint away like the wounded in the streets of the city and breathe their last in their mother's arms. To what can I liken or compare you, O daughter Jerusalem? What example can I show you for your comfort, virgin daughter Zion? For great as the sea is your downfall, who can heal you? Your prophets had for you false and specious visions. They did not lay bare your guilt to avert your fate. They beheld for you in vision false and misleading portents. All who pass by clap their hands at you. They hiss and wag their heads over daughter Jerusalem. Is this the all-beautiful city, the joy of the whole earth? And then it goes on. And on, let me go down a little bit further. He has hemmed me in with no escape and weighed me down with chains. Even when I cry out for help, he stops my prayer. He has blocked my ways with fitted stones and turned my paths aside. My soul is deprived of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. I tell myself my future is lost. All that I hoped for from the Lord. The thought of my homeless poverty is wormwood and gall. Remembering it over and over leaves my soul downcast within me. But then at this point in the middle of chapter 3 of the book of Lamentations, it takes a turn and we hear these words. But this I will call to mind as my reason to have hope. The favors of the Lord are not exhausted. His mercies are not spent. They are renewed each morning. So great is his faithfulness. My portion is the Lord, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Good is the Lord to one who waits for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good to hope in silence. For the saving help of the Lord. Lord, as we approach this 20th anniversary of the events of September 11th, as we recall the devastation done to our own cities, the loss of life inflicted on our own nation, the violence carried out against our own people, we take to heart these words of the book of Lamentations, both in the grief expressed and also in the hope expressed. Because, Lord, your favors to America are not exhausted. Your favors to the world are not exhausted. Your favors to the church are not exhausted. Your mercies are not spent. They are renewed each morning. So great is your faithfulness. Lord, it is good to hope in silence for your saving help. And that is what we, your people, do. We hope in silence for your help when we do not know how to achieve it. But we know, Lord God, that you are there to give it to us. We wait in hope for your salvation. When all things around us are opposing us and evil seems to triumph, it is good to wait in silence for the saving help of the Lord. And Lord, we have experienced your saving help time and time again, and we place that hope in you again today. People placed that hope in you, Lord God, back on the day of September 11th of 2001. People placed their hope in you that day. People prayed. People turned to you, even those people who were victims. And Lord God, we turn to you along with them. saying that you are the conqueror of evil, not just the conqueror of death, but the conqueror of the evil in the human heart that would deliberately inflict death on innocent people. Lord God, fill us today with victorious hope that as we face the evils of both the past and the present, we may be rooted in that hope and have the peace which surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Friends, what was the evil of September 11th? Let's think about this. Was it the loss of life only and the destruction of the buildings? An earthquake could do that, but people wouldn't call that an evil. It's a tragedy. It's a loss. But is it an evil like September 11th was? A tsunami can knock down buildings and kill people. But there's no guilt there, is there? There's no guilt in an earthquake or a tsunami. They're natural disasters. What was the evil that was carried out on September 11th of 2001? It was the evil that gets into the mind and heart to the point that one would deliberately destroy an innocent life, disregard a person's dignity and right to life. That was the evil of terrorism. That's what we must be delivered from. That's what we must be set free from as individuals, as a nation, as a world. That there are people who would have such a callous disregard for a human being's right to life, that they would turn an airplane into a weapon, that they would kill people deliberately. This is the evil that we all recoil against and that we are offended by. And this is the evil against which we pray today and for all our lives and around all the world. This is what unites us in solidarity. Not only did our whole nation come together, you remember the flags? We had on our office building the flags in the windows, and we put flags on our cars, and people were waving and carrying and displaying flags in every way imaginable in those days and weeks right after 9/11, because we were responding with love to a country that some people in some parts of the world hate, and they were expressing that hatred. And that was a beautiful resurgence, a beautiful expression of patriotism, because we belong to a country founded on the recognition of the right to life given by the Creator. Nobody can infringe on that. And brothers and sisters, as we remember the events of that day, we put it in this context. That was the evil that offends us still and that we have to root out from our world. But the solidarity, not only of the whole nation, but of the world together with us, springs from what? It just springs from our common humanity. I mean, that's the root of it, that we as human beings recognize that in order to have a civilized society, we have to protect each other. We can't deliberately destroy each other. But Al-Qaeda, the terrorist group that was harbored by the Taliban in Afghanistan, was responsible for these attacks, the group led by Osama bin Laden. And you know, it was made very clear in President George W. Bush's address to Congress after 9/11. About 10 days later or so, that he addressed the nation. He said, "We will not make a distinction between the terrorists and those who harbor them." And that indeed was the basis of our response in Afghanistan against the Taliban. It's like, if you enable these people, if you provide a safe haven for these people, if you don't stand as firmly and clearly as we do against the terrorists, we're going to consider you as part of them. And this is that unqualified response that is required by all of us to the forces of evil and the power of sin. And brothers and sisters, the lessons that come from this day and the events that we remember the solidarity, again, based in our common humanity. We remember the evil that is so offensive to us, the disregard for the right to life. We remember the patriotism. We remember the efforts of people in helping one another. On that day and on the weeks and the months that followed, many from our own Priests for Life staff, we were right there in New York City. We were on Staten Island facing Lower Manhattan, and many of our staff went over in the subsequent days and weeks to assist with the recovery effort, to assist the police officers and firefighters and others who were on the scene. The spirit of generosity is brought out by events like this, and is something that we always have to foster. You know, there's also a very poignant dimension to this. Did you know that in the victims tallied from the attacks of 9/11, close to 3,000 people, that the unborn children who died that day are also counted? There are on the plaques in New York City, at the memorial site of 9/11, about 11 pregnancies are acknowledged. I want to read a little bit about this. This was also the case. It's not just on the 9/11 memorial, in the almost 3,000 names inscribed around the footprints of the Twin Towers, but was also the case back in the memorial that was set up in after the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center. At that point, one of the victims was expecting her first child. She, in fact, was working the last day of her maternity leave. You see there some of the inscriptions, by the way, on the 9/11 memorial in New York City, of some of the names that acknowledge and her unborn child, together with the mother's name who was killed. But also on the day of 9/11, Louis Massari, for example, his wife Patricia, age 25, of Glendale, Queens, learned on that very morning of 9/11 that she was pregnant. And the couple had tears of joy before she went to work that day at the World Trade Center, and of course, never returned. And two things were taken from me on that day, her husband said. I was looking forward to being a father. This acknowledgement of those little children, so special. A reminder to us who fight for these children each day and give witness to the fact that they are real babies. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. These women and their unborn children. And the other spiritual lesson too that comes through from all of this, brothers and sisters, is the added sin, aside from the taking of human life, of the perversion of religion. The attacks of September 11th, let us not forget, were carried out by religious extremists. Not only were they killing people by flying planes into buildings, they were calling on the name of their God as they did it. This should be offensive to us and is offensive to us, along with the callous disregard for life itself. Why are you calling on God, the creator of the world, who loves what he has created? Why are you invoking him as you take away what he has created? That is blasphemy. That's not worship. That's blasphemy. Some people abuse religion and use it to take innocent life. You know, it's it's against the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Usually we think of that commandment as, oh, don't say God or Jesus, you know, when you're mad, when you're cursing. Well, it's also don't say God when you're killing. Don't invoke God for something that he abhors. That's what these people did on September 11th. That's what the terrorists do in many other acts of terrorism. They're committing a double sin. And brothers and sisters, that's what some people do today in the context of abortion. Why do we fight that evil? We fight the evil of terrorism. We also fight the evil of abortion because it's the deliberate taking of a human life. The abortionists, some of the abortionists, have the perversion of religion right at the core of their mind and heart. You think, for example, of RCRC. Have you ever heard of the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice? We're not talking here, by the way, about the young moms and the dads who are so afraid and desperate that they end up going to an abortion facility. We serve those people every day. We know their stories. We connect with their pain. We know their difficulties. We help them. We give them alternatives to abortion. I'm talking about the radical core of the abortion movement, the radical ideological, sick, twisted minds that engineer this stuff. They fall into the same trap of the perversion of religion, is what I'm pointing out. They fall into both traps, the disregard for the right to life and the perversion of religion as they take it. And RCRC, the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, has Bible studies in favor of abortion. Bible studies that twist the concept of freedom, which of course is very much heralded in the scriptures, as it should be, and they turn that around to do exactly what Paul warns us not to do. Do not use your freedom as an excuse for vice, but that's exactly what they do. And you have abortionists like Curtis Boyd, who, let me quote him here, he told Newsweek magazine, this is back in 1994, he's still doing abortions today, I have a missionary, many abortionists, they said, have a missionary sense about their work. Curtis Boyd said, I perform abortions because of my religion. I perform abortions because of my religion. Do you see a parallel between taking surgical forceps and invoking God and destroying a human being 5 inches long? Do you see a parallel between taking an airplane and invoking God and destroying human beings 5 feet tall? What's the difference? Morally speaking, the deliberate destruction of a human life, does it matter if they're 5 feet or 5 inches? Does it matter if it's surgical forceps or jet planes? It's evil both ways. The taking of life and the perversion of faith. We have to pray that God will set the world free from terrorism. We have to pray that God will set the world free from whatever form this fundamental error, this fundamental evil wants to take. And by this fundamental evil, I mean that willingness to take a life and even to invoke the giver of life while doing so. This is an evil beyond words. Let's turn to the Lord and let's ask him, as we remember the events of September 11th, that we may draw on the deep, deep spiritual lessons here, the deep spiritual lessons for all of us. Let's pray. Father, heal our nation. Lord, many people are sad. This weekend, as we recall these events of 20 years ago, we have sadness, anger, grief. But Lord, let us also have hope and let us also have resolve. We turn to you. You are the God of providence. You are the God of life. You are the God of resurrection. You are the God who protects the weak, stands up for the poor, rescues and defends the widow and orphan. Be with us. Be with us in America, Lord. Keep us safe from the plotting of terrorists even today, who hate freedom, who hate America, who hate Christianity. Protect your people. Protect our protectors. Protect our government leaders. Protect our military. Protect our first responders. Thank you, Lord, for those people who put their own lives on the line, who did it on September 11th, 2001, who do it today. Those first responders, Lord, give their lives and risk their lives each day to protect ours. Thank you for them and for their example. And Lord, thank you for the people on the front lines of every movement for life and for justice, for the pro-life movement. Thank you, Lord, for those who give their lives to save lives. And may the events that we recall inspire us to serve, inspire us to build a culture of life. Inspire us, Lord, with the patriotism that we saw emerge in a fresh way after 9/11. Give us that same spirit of patriotism today, that we may stand always with this great nation founded on the truth of the right to life and the dignity of worshiping you, O God, in the right way, one that affirms good, not one that excuses evil. And together now, let us pray in the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Well, friends, I hope that as we reach this anniversary tomorrow, take some time to watch some of the special programming and coverage and go back to the events of that day. 20 years ago, not just for remembering, but for resolving in the ways that we have just been discussing. May God give you his peace and his blessing. And stay connected with us at, both at Right Side Broadcasting Network and with me and my ministry. You see my social media handle there on the screen. Let's stay connected in these important days as we continue to work to defend America and to build a culture of life. May God bless and protect you and your families, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a blessed weekend. Father Frank Pavone here. We'll talk to you next week.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.